I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I'm joined by Lacey Nicholson of POU Women's Basketball, Drew Artisoni of POU Men's Basketball, and our free agent wide receiver. His name is Kellen Westring. So Pete Carroll, if you're listening, we got a guy here waiting to go for you. Anytime you want to sign him, let him go. All right. If you want to call in the show and talk a little Apple Cup with us, please go ahead and do so. The number to call us is 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. Let's check out what we got going here. So the Apple Cup was not as competitive as we all hoped and dreamed it would be.
I didn't hope and dream it would be competitive. I wanted it to be a blowout.
Never mind. I wanted it to be competitive, and it wasn't, and it sucked. So... But for the west side of the state, it was a good day, and Lacey, it was a good day. So the Huskies walked away with a 45-17 win over the Cougars. Kellen, you are our resident football expert. Why did the game turn out the way it did?
Well, the Huskies came into that game, and they were extremely calm and collected. They did not let the implications of how big this game was impact the way they played. They didn't let the fact that the game was played in Pullman affect them. And I was very, very impressed by that. It shows a lot of maturity over in Seattle. When they ran a double pass on the first drive of the game, it really stood out to me, as well as my father, because it showed that they really weren't afraid of the moment. They were going to go after this win. They weren't afraid to make those kind of plays. And sometimes teams come into other team stadiums, especially in a big game, and they're just kind of conservative. But they went out guns ablaze, and I respect that. The Huskies' goal line defense is what won that football game. The Cougars could have scored 21 points, in my opinion, that were left on the board. Two goal line stands and just a brutal JC quarterback throw by Luke Falk right before halftime that would have been big time momentum heading into the second half. You got to give a lot of credit to the Huskies goal line defense, Christian.
Yeah, I think that's right. So you mentioned Luke Falk. He was not very good last Friday.
That
Drew,
was a very nice way to put it.
How would you analyze his play?
He cooked it.
Yeah.
He cooked it. He did the standard. I mean, hey, you know what? Tip of the hat, this is the first time in more than a few years that a Wazoo quarterback actually made it through the entire game or played in the game for the Cougs, which was kind of nice to see. But Luke Falk stood there and proved the age-old adage. Ball security is job security. You're not going to win too many games when you throw three picks. You're just putting yourself in a huge hole. And he just wasn't very good. He didn't look comfortable the entire game. The UW defense did a really good job of not letting him do what he wanted to do with
the
ball.
He had a few drops, too, as well, especially in that first drive that would have got him at least a touchdown, I think.
And that just kills your momentum as a quarterback, because if you know you're putting the ball in the right spot and the wideout still can't catch it, then you know your day's just going to be rough.
Yeah. Lacey, are we paying too much attention to how poorly the Cougars played and not enough about how well the UW defense did shutting down one of the best offenses in the conference?
Yeah, I think the Huskies' defense did spectacular. There were 10 dogs who had three or more tackles on defense. Buda Baker was leading the team with 8 total tackles. And Drew already mentioned the dogs had 3 interceptions on defense. Was a total team effort there. They held the Cougars to 269 passing yards and only 65 rushing yards. The defense definitely should not be overlooked in this game.
Drew, Jake Browning was efficient. He was effective. What'd you think of his day?
Jake had a great day, threw the ball well, didn't take any undue risks with the ball, especially in Pullman. He got out of the pocket when he needed to, stayed in when he should have. It was just one of those solid Jake Browning games that we've become used to seeing. I mean, yeah, he had a quick stumble, pun intended, at USC. Just couldn't stay on his feet. And it's been good to see him come back and spin the ball a little bit.
21-29, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's just efficient. If you give him the time to throw, he's going to hurt you. Anything more than 3 seconds for Jake Browning, mm-hmm. You might as well just hand the ball to the wide receiver.
Yep, Browning was 21-29 for 292 yards and 3 touchdowns. Lacey, what other skill position players kind of stuck out to you during this game?
A couple guys stood out to me. Running back LaVon Coleman had 82 yards rushing on just 10 attempts for two touchdowns for the Dogs. And then Dante Pettis was impressive as always. 86 receiving yards from just three catches and two touchdowns for him as well.
Yeah, that's another efficient day. Kellen, you kind of mentioned it earlier, but you know, Chris Peterson has a history of being very successful with the trickery. It seemed like the UW offense used a lot of trick plays when they may not have needed to. What's your take on the play calling? Did they need to use all those trick plays? Is it okay to just pull these trick plays out whenever you feel like it because you can? Like, what do you think about it?
Why's everyone looking at me?
Because I'm asking you.
Because PLU football and their in your relationship to their offensive coordinator has a, you know, affinity of trick plays.
Oh, well, I wasn't intending to go there, but sure. Kellen, what do you think of the
trick plays? Well, I mean, my stance on trick plays has always been, if it gains yards, does it really matter? If you're gaining yards, that's a great thing. The Huskies have run that double pass many times. The first time they did it was against USC. I remember watching it with my dad 2 years ago. He stopped the game, and grabbed out his pen and pad, wrote that play down. We called it Trojan Horse. We scored on that against Linfield 2 years ago with DJ Winter throwing from Ben Welch. So in my opinion, I don't think the Huskies were worried that they were running too many trick plays in this game. It's not one of those things where they're like, let's save it for Colorado, let's save it for Alabama. No. If trick plays work, they work. And it's one of those things where, yes, teams will scout them, but that trick play is not one of those things where it's going to be a big deal because they ran that. So I think it was great play calling by Pearson. I believe there was at least two or three. I know there was two for sure trick plays in this game. And I even remember one of the broadcasters talking about the fact that they don't really need to do these things, but yet they're gaining yards. I think the other trick play, they grabbed the pass interference. So if you're moving the ball up and down the field, really who cares how you're calling the game?
That's fair. Looking forward, the Huskies take on Colorado in the Pac-12 championship game in Santa Clara this weekend. Lacey, how have the Buffaloes had success this season?
Colorado is strong at running the ball. Their top two running backs as well as their starting quarterback have a total of 25 rushing touchdowns this season, which is quite a bit. Other than that stat, though, the Buffs aren't very strong on offense in any other area. It's nothing the Dogs haven't seen before and nothing they can't handle there. I think the real matchup is going to be the Husky offense against this Buffalo defense, who is second in the Pac-12, allowing 18.8 points per game, just behind the Dogs in the Pac-12, who are allowing 17.8 points per game. So this defense is nothing to underlook and something the Dogs are going to have to prepare for.
You know, Lacey, it's really crazy you say that because, you know, you for a conference that's really renowned for their, like, high-powered offenses, the Oregons, the Stanfords, the UWs, the Wazoos. This is – look who ends up in the championship game, proving once again the age-old adage that defense wins championships. You have the two top defenses in the Pac-12 playing in the championship.
Awesome.
I think that's just absolutely crazy to think about and, you know, proves a lot about defense and how important it is to the game.
Kellen, is the UW offense good enough to get past this Colorado team and their stout defense?
Yes. Sefolufa, like you mentioned there, Lacey, he went to Bellarmine, which is pretty cool. So I know Sefolufa will be very, very motivated for this game because UW, kind of a quick side note, UW gave him a walk-on scholarship. So the fact that they didn't give him a full ride, I think he's a little bit still frustrated. So he's got some ammo heading into the Husky game. But I truly believe the UW offense just has too many weapons on the offensive side of the ball. They are hard to stop, and they're in a rhythm right now. They came off a great game against, you know, the Cougs. You got John Ross. You got Pettis. You got Coleman. I just said Ross again, but I'm going to say him again. It is so scary how good they are in those skill positions, and they're just so fast. I mean, it's one of those things where, yes, does Colorado have a great defense? No question about it, but these skill players, I believe, will get loose. Not throughout the game, but in the moments when they need to put points on the board, they'll get loose, and I believe that will give them enough points to win the game.
Drew, I think I probably already know the answer to this question, but what is the worst-case scenario for this Husky team?
For them to lose?
I mean, yeah.
If they lose, they're out of the college football playoff for sure. However, I believe they're still going to be out of the college football playoff.
Whoa.
Wow.
I think they'll drop to put Penn State and Ohio State in. I think that's one of the ways they drop. I think the other way they drop is if USC wins out. I think USC could slide into that four spot at the very end, depending on what happens in the Big Ten championship game.
So USC with no conference championships and more losses.
Like, yes. We talked about last night. They don't give credit to the most improved teams like they should.
Yeah, like they should. Basketball. But don't be surprised if USC comes close to 5 or 4. Don't be surprised.
I can see them being 5. I don't think they'll get in the tournament.
They can't be in the tournament. Yeah. No, that's not going to happen.
Well, they can.
Should they be? We have a case. No question.
Should they be? Possibly.
No, they're not going to make it. All right, let's play a little The Huskies Will.
Ooh.
What's going to happen in the Pac-12 championship this weekend?
The Huskies are going to win this game 35-10. When I went to a visit in Colorado at a high school, because we knew the head coach really, really well, was looking at that school, went to a couple of their camps. I got to run a couple of routes on that grass field. I felt really, really slow. Now, by no means am I fast already, but that field is grass. That is one advantage that will be on the Buffalo side. So I'm hoping that UW practice on grass this week because they will have to adjust to it. It's kind of like when we play UPS. It's just a different surface, and that advantage normally goes to the home team.
UW hasn't played a game on grass all year.
So that could be a big advantage when it comes to the Buffaloes. But like I said, I think there's just too much firepower on this UW offense and not enough firepower on the Colorado offense. Both teams have great defenses like we mentioned before, but at the end of the day, whoever's going to win this game is the team that's going to score more points, and the Huskies have more firepower. The Huskies are going to score more points, 35-10.
Lacey, let me know what's going to happen.
I agree with that. The Huskies are going to put more points up on the board, coming off of momentum from the Wazoo game. They're just a better team on paper, and I think they're going to get it done 31-17, dogs.
Drew, who you got?
UW rolls, 49-7, dogs.
Whoa. Whoa, man.
UW rolls.
Wow.
What about you, Christian?
I'm gonna run with the Huskies, but I don't think it'll be a blowout like that. 31-21 Huskies.
31-21.
Yep, I'll go a little closer just because I like the close games better than any other game.
All right, guys. Well, great stuff. Up next, we turn our sights to PLU women's basketball. Very, very exciting. This is Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hockey career began like many players, on frozen ponds. That's why the groundbreaking partnership between the NHL and Constellation is so beneficial for the communities we play in and fans like you. Constellation and the NHL have a commitment to a clean energy future. So we joined forces to offset the league's entire carbon footprint this season and work with NHL clubs to help reach their energy efficiency goals. I'm proud to be part of a league that's taking action to preserve the environment. Constellation, the NHL's preferred energy choice.
Welcome back, folks, to Mass Radio, Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call on the show, please do it. We're talking some women's college basketball. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332. We are joined today, as always, by the glue of the women's basketball team in number 44, Lacey Nicholson, who, folks, if we had Periscope right now, I wish you could see what she looks like. Christian Bond, our producer, who puts in countless hours. We're very thankful for that. And Jordan Sony, who's won the last 5 Name That Lutes, feeling very, very confident. He doesn't need any more confidence, but he has it. So, and my name is Kellen Westring, folks. Free agency is where I am at in life.
Yeah. How's that going, by the way? Just out of curiosity, before we get into like the real life stuff here, where Christian's going to start yelling at us for being off topic. Where are we going?
Well, Europe teams are hollering, which is exciting.
Good
Italy,
for you.
Italy looks
are
like...
you your own agent?
Yes.
Okay.
So Italy looks like...
I got to sell myself.
Italy looks like where you're going?
Italy looks like where I will be playing.
Good
so
for you.
That'll be exciting. And maybe I can start my own radio show over there.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Italiano.
Yes. All right. If you want to call in the show and talk a little POU women's basketball or anything in general, please call us 253-535-7332. Once again, 253-535-7332. So the POU women finally played a home game this week. Lacey, how did it feel to be on the home court for the first time this season?
It was
in tights.
It was awesome to be on our home court for the first time, and I think we came out like we were defending our home court. Our first half was spectacular. We had a great team effort in that first half, and then things just kind of started sliding downhill. But the home court advantage was fun, and we had a good amount of people there for a women's basketball game. It was fun to play.
What was the final score of that game?
Oh,
I don't remember.
She flushed it.
We lost by four. Yeah. I don't know what the
final
score was.
I think it was
five.
It was 69-65.
69-65.
Okay.
It is four. Wow. Kel.
There it is. All right, Kellen, who was the spark for the Lutes in this game?
Besides Lacey Nicholson, the spark was Kristen Sturdivant. Now, Kristen had 21 points, and she had 17 in the first half. What I liked about Kristen was her shot selection throughout this game. What she did was, I don't know if she may have taken 1 3-point shot, but that was it. Other than that, it was about 8 to 10 feet jump shots. Very, very exciting. I thought she played great. She needs that confidence throughout the season. I think if Kristen can have that confidence, Sam Clay has enough confidence. Lacey has enough confidence, but we need Lacey to shoot more. This team can get 3 to 4 wins, which is okay, which is fine. Because you want to, in my opinion, you have to be realistic. And right now, they don't have a lot of bigs. And Lacey, I know you want to end your senior year, obviously making the playoffs, that's the dream. But I also know you guys just want to play well. And if you want to continue to get wins down the road, that's what needs to happen.
Drew, what do the women have to do differently on offense or defense to win a game like this where they're up in the first half and then all of a sudden the second half looks a little different and they end up losing by four? What has to change?
Everything.
Okay.
You can't give up a 15-point lead at halftime and be okay with what you're doing on either side of the ball. You need to stop reaching. You need to move your feet. You need to find someone to box out on defense. And offensively, I'm sorry, but the point guards have turned the ball over too much for POU. It's time to put the ball in the hands of someone who's going to secure it, not turn the ball over. I would absolutely love to see a 3 or a 4 take the ball up the floor and relieve some of the pressure off of the point guards, because lots and lots and lots and lots of turnovers. You can't turn the ball over 20 times in the second half and hope to beat anybody.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Lacey, I'll ask you. You were playing in the game. What changed for your team in the second half?
Well, guys, we've talked about it before. We're a very young group. 3 seniors, 1 junior, and the rest are sophomores and freshmen. At one point, we had 4 sophomores and 1 of our seniors in the game, which is great for these sophomores because they're learning so much. It's such a great time for them to get game exposure. They're going to be great by their senior year. But after the game, we talked about it in the locker room. There was a lack of leadership on the floor in that second half, and that falls on the shoulders of the seniors. The 3 seniors out there, it's on us to bring the team together in times of chaos and make sure we're all on the same page. Something that is a game changer also is that college women's basketball has changed a few rules in the past couple years. And one of which is that we have 3 timeouts per half instead of 5. Wow. We used to have 5, and now we only have 3. So it's really on the coaches to be thinking ahead, and especially in a close game like that. Coach Childress didn't want to call a timeout because she needed to save her timeouts for the end of the game. So in the third quarter, when the wheels are falling off the wagon, she doesn't know, do I call a timeout to calm my team down, or do I save it for the end of the game? And that's what she was telling the seniors at the end of the game was, I strategically do not want to call a timeout. That's on you guys to, in the middle of the game, to get the team together and calm us down.
Right.
That's something that the men's team needs to be more aware of, because we came into the end of that Whittier game with 8 minutes to go and not a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Because we took too many early. So I'm happy Coach Childress was trying to be smart and save her timeouts, but there was a point in that third quarter where she needed to come out and say, hey, we need to put an end to this run.
Yeah. Well, it's a learning curve, and luckily we have not started conference yet. We're heading down to Oregon tomorrow on Friday to play Lewis and Clark, and then we'll play Pacific, and that's when our conference play starts up. So these past 4 games, we've lost – some close ones. I think give us 20 more points and we'd be 3-1 right now, because we've lost one game by 4, we've lost 1 game by 1, and we've lost 1 game by 7. So that's the positive to take away, is we're We're in these games. Yeah. We're competing. We just got
to
finish.
You guys have You guys haven't figured out how to close a game yet, and that's and that's because you guys are young. It's not a symptom of you guys don't have the talent to do it. When I've been as hard on this women's basketball team as I have been on air, it's not about you guys aren't good enough. It's not like you guys don't have the talent. It's just you guys are young. You haven't learned how to close a game yet, and that's gonna come. I guarantee you, as the year goes on, it's gonna get closer and closer and closer.
Yep. And these games this weekend are very winnable games, and Coach always says it's our game to win and it's our game to lose. It's completely in our hands.
What do you guys have to do you think, Lacey, to come out with two wins in Oregon?
We got to play Loop basketball, and you guys saw
what does that mean?
You guys saw it a little bit in the first half against Multnomah. That was Loop basketball. We're sharing the ball, we're getting it to the post and kicking it weak side for an awesome jump shot. We were getting open looks and playing together and flowing. What you didn't see, that's exactly what you did not see in the second half. No composure by the Lutes, just frantic and trying to force things. So if we can all be on the same page this weekend, we should easily come out with some wins.
Can I tell you this right now? You keep your turnovers down below 15, you probably win both games this weekend.
Yep.
What did Childress say at halftime?
Because
I would have to assume that she was happy with the way you guys were playing.
Yeah, we were all happy. A lot of shout-outs in the locker room. Our goal was to come out without being comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be comfortable when
0-0 kind of halftime.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what we said in the locker room. This game 0-0, we're starting over. But I think we did. We came out comfortable, and hats off to Multnomah coming out with some fire.
Right.
And the refs. You can't blame.
See, in the first half,
you can't blame things on the refs, but they weren't calling a lot of fouls.
In the first half, they called everything. I mean, if you stepped on the court, they were going to call a foul. But the second half, they were calling. They weren't calling, especially I think Milan Woods is her name, number one, that point guard who had about 25 steals in the second half. You know, not to name names, but she was, in my opinion, reaching in it a couple times, and the refs did let those go, which was interesting because, in my opinion, the refs should call the game throughout
consistent.
Pretty much the same. I know once it's in those last 2 minutes, you're not going to call ticky-tacks per se, but, yeah, that was interesting the way they did ref the game for sure.
Yeah. I do expect consistency from the refs, but I will say I'd much rather play a game like the game on Tuesday and have it be physical versus having them blow their whistle every 5 seconds for ticky-tack fouls. So.
Absolutely. Well, we're excited to see how you guys can do this weekend. So, folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will head to one of our special segments called The Seahawks Will. Find out what we think they will do next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Don't worry. 74 people were picked before me in the NFL draft.
To fight childhood obesity, United Way and the NFL are helping kids play at least 60 minutes a day.
Okay, time for the team obstacle course.
Yay!
What this place needs is more healthy kids. To get involved or donate, go to unitedway.org/play60.
Now I get it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call into the show, do it. The number is 253-535-7332. Again, that is 253-535-7332. I'm Gerard Asoni. I'm one of the athletes here as our half-athlete steps out to do the half-student-athlete work that he has to get done. Joining me in studio is number 44 from the women's basketball team. That is Lacey Nicholson, and also your favorite free agent wide receiver and mine, Kellen Westring. Time for the, our favorite segment, I think it is, of the week. I know it's Lacey's for sure. It's time for a little Seahawks Will. Kellen, you have a gift for picking the Seahawks game, man. The team is 7-3-1. Two of those losses are to the Saints and the Buccaneers, and you picked both of those games. What do you see going into last Sunday's game that led you to make that pick?
All right, folks. Well, I'll let you guys at home get a pen and paper. You guys got it? Cool. Okay, this is what you have to do. You got to look at the injury update.
Okay.
You got to see who's hurt, who is going to be healthy when this game is going to be played. Second, pretty simple, but it's important. You got to look, where's the game being played? That's what I always do. Those are the two big things I look at. And the third thing, I'll add one more in there, is who do they just come off of beating? if it was a team that they should have won. Well, you have to look at, you know, when you come into a next game, you could be too confident or you could be, you know, not very confident. It just depends that last game. So those are the three things I always look at, and those have honestly helped me choose the Seahawks losing the last two times I have. I don't want to choose the Seahawks to lose, Lacey. I'm a Seahawks fan. I think you're probably a bigger one. But that is why I chose the Seahawks to lose on the last two times against the Saints and the Bucks, because of those three things that I mentioned.
You know, Kel, that offensive line just looked absolutely depleted. They looked like they just didn't have the guys. They were traffic cones out there blocking, not linemen. Justin Britt, you know, he isn't known as one of the best offensive linemen in the league, but this game has proved how valuable it is to that Hawks line and the leader he is and how they get their schemes together. I think that you know, injuries to the O-line, man, just kill you.
Well, Russell is running for his life.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
It's hard because a lot of people are like, gosh, Russell didn't play very well. Which, yes, to his you know, demise, he did not throw the ball extremely well.
Yeah.
But he didn't have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And so when you don't have a lot of time, when you're not trusting your normal progression, you begin to make reads that you don't normally make. You begin to make throws that you don't normally make. And so it has been tough, especially on the line.
Hey, that's a great natural transition here. I'll kick this over to Lacey. Lace, final score was an awkward 14-5. Mm-hmm. Can you blame the defense for what went on, or does that fall on Russell Wilson and that Seahawks offense?
That's tough. The Bucks QB, Jameis Winston, had a ton of time to make decisions with the football. And because of that, he was able to find his receivers. He was 21 of 28, averaging almost 8 yards per pass. So I think the Hawks defense could have done a better job pressuring that Buccaneer offense. As far as the Seahawks offense, though, there was not a single touchdown scored. The Hawks points were from a field goal and a safety, which, by the way, was a good call by Coach Pete. But it's pretty hard to win a football game, guys, when you don't score a single touchdown. And I think the defense did all they could. Holding a team to only 14 points is pretty impressive on the defensive end. The offense just needs to get it done.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Lacey. You know, I kind of want to kick it back over to Kellen as well with this. And Lacey, you jump in here too. But, you know, what part of the offense was lacking against the Buccaneers? Lacey, you go first. Ladies first, as always, and then Kel.
Well,
you already touched on it a little bit.
Kellen kind of already alluded to it. Russell Wilson threw for a total of 20 yards in the first half, you guys.
20 more than us.
You.
That is tough. And he threw two interceptions. Wilson led the team in rush yards with 80 yards across 8 attempts. And honestly, you can't blame the guy. Like Kellen was saying, he was scrambling for his life. He's trying to make something of this offense and move the ball down the field, whether that means he has to run or not. But he was sacked 6 times. So I really think a lot of the blame goes on the offensive line. They're making it really hard for Russell to get any kind of play going.
Right. And it's tough when you're the offensive line. It's one of those things where you're only really notice when you're doing things wrong,
you know,
except unless you're the Cowboys.
Then you're noticed every week on SportsCenter for how great you are.
But it's one of those things where they just have to get healthy. They have to get confidence. And if you're the Hawks, you're beginning to realize where you need to put your money, because they have not done a good job, in my opinion, investing in the line. Again, you want to build from the inside out, not the outside in.
You know, there's only so much time we can point fingers at the O-line. Do you think Russ or, you know, any of the other skill guys could help this poor offensive line play? I mean, because it's poor. Let's call it what it is at this point. Let's not sugarcoat this. It's poor.
Well, I think Darryl Bevell can do a better job with play calling. I think
okay.
If your line's struggling, you need to do a quick three-step throw, a three-step drop for Russell, maybe some quick screens to Baldwin, get him loose out in the outside. Use your playmakers that you have. I still think Jimmy Graham, they do not utilize him like they should. Seriously, I think Jimmy Graham should be getting 10 to 12 targets a game. I mean, he is that good. Lacey, I know you like his looks as well.
Like we said in a few shows before this, when Jimmy Graham has 90-plus receiving yards a game, the Hawks are winning every time.
Yeah, that's a great stat.
So,
you know, for sure, Lacey. That's so true. And so, you know, I think when your players aren't playing like they should, coaching needs to adjust. You know, you can't coach a team like you want to coach them. I mean, like I said, if I'm Darryl Bevell, I'm not going to coach this team like they were last year, because in my opinion, the line last year was a lot better. They were healthy. You have to adjust your play calling to who's playing. Mm-hmm. When Walker and Cole and John were in the game, the play calls were different. Yes, they really were different, and you have to adjust to that. And that's what I think Daryl Bevel needs to do a better job of if his line is going to continue to play like they are.
You know, Kel, I think Seahawks fans should be absolutely worried about this offense. You know, you see how just inconsistent they could possibly be. You look, Russell Wilson looks like an all-pro and then turns around the next week and throws the ball for 20 yards in the first half. And then the pattern repeats itself once over again. The Lions and the Falcons are both 7-4. The tie the Seahawks have put them ahead of those teams at 7-3-1. And now all of a sudden it's a war to figure out who's going to have home field advantage in the playoffs. I don't think they can afford to lose another game if they want home field advantage. Guys, I mean, any...
And I think they need it. I really think they need home field advantage. Yeah. Obviously, the clink, whatever you want to call it, CenturyLink Field
clink.
Is...
I like the clink.
I haven't
That's
heard it
stuff.
Called the clink.
I like the clink. That's good, Kellen. Can we roll with that now on the show? We'll go with the clink. It's what it's called from now on, the clink.
Okay, everyone know the clink.
But it's so hard to beat the Hawks there. So... If I'm the Seahawks, like you said, I mean, every game should matter anyway, all 16, but no question about it. Their sphincters are tight right now because they are in a little bit of a hole.
Yeah, okay, so let's look forward. Let's play our favorite game here. Let's do what the segment is named after. I know Christian would be proud if we actually got through what he wanted us to get through. Let's look forward. Hawks play the Panthers. Cam Newton and the Panthers on Sunday night. Lace, what's going to happen?
Guys, I really don't like Cam Newton.
Come on, say even it. Come on, say it. Do it, Lacey.
I don't think Cam Newton's good. My hatred for Cam Newton is as strong as my love for Jimmy Graham.
Wow, okay. That's big.
What's wrong with Cam Newton? Tell us. Tell us. Be honest. Unfiltered right here. Tell us what you think.
He's a sore loser. He has terrible style. And I follow him on Instagram. I follow him on Instagram only because it's entertaining of how cocky he is. I don't like his little shimmy after the first down. And yeah, there's other things, but I won't say them on air. Anyways, the Hawks are going to win this weekend. Yeah, we got to look out for the Panthers wide receiver, Kelvin Benjamin.
Yep.
You guys know him. This guy is a thick dude. He is a talented receiver.
She ain't fat, bruh.
No. Just a little thick.
He's thick.
He's a consistent player. The last 7 games, he's had over 50 yards receiving. So we got to keep our eyes out for him. I think it's going to be a good matchup, him going against Richard Sherman.
Dreads versus Dreads, man.
Yeah. So that'll be fun to watch. I think we'll ultimately win that battle. And the Hawks are going to beat the Panthers this weekend.
Drew, what do you think is going to happen?
So I think the Hawks will win. It's probably going to be a relatively low-scoring game. I'm thinking like 21-17 style. Cam Newton is the worst quarterback in the NFL this year. He's almost as bad as Colin Kaepernick. Yes, and I did just say that as a Niner fan. He is below the league average in every notable quarterback stat in the book right now.
What about the Browns quarterback?
Which one? He is the worst. He's the worst fantasy football quarterback in the league this year, and everyone took him in the first round that I know. And I just think the Hawks are going to frustrate him defensively. It's going to be interesting, though, to see if the Hawks can move the ball offensively because of how good that Panthers defense is led by the, you know,
but
the
he's
beast.
Hurt. He's hurt.
Yeah, but
he's not playing.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
Kuechly.
Yeah, but Luke Kuechly still can coach from the sidelines. I guarantee
right,
you. I guarantee you he's in that linebacker's helmet. Oh, no, I agree. Yeah. I feel like the Panthers are just too good defensively. You know, the NFC West, man, that's a tough defensively. You got the Cardinals, the Niners. The Niners defense isn't that bad. You have the Cardinals, the Niners, the Panthers, the Hawks. You got a lot of teams who can play in that group. The Rams are good. The NFC's tough defensively. But, yeah, I think 21-17 Hawks win. Russell Wilson moves the ball a little bit, but he needs help rushing the ball or else this is going to be a long game for the
Hopefully
Hawks.
Hopefully Rawls can begin – to, you know,
yeah, maybe emerge a little bit. That'd be good. What do you think, Kel? Seahawks will what?
So Seahawks are going to win 33-28. I believe ultimately Seattle has the edge at home because of their ability to get defensive stops late in the game. They just know how to win close games. They've shown that throughout this year. It's how they've gotten wins over teams like the Dolphins, sorry, Christian, the Falcons, the Patriots, and the Buffalo Bills. Conversely, late game mistakes against teams like the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Chiefs are the reasons why the Panthers, in my opinion, will miss this postseason. If the Panthers have, you know, proven anything this season, it's that they'll honestly find a way to lose a close game at the end. And it's interesting because we look at how good the Panthers were last year, and they look so different this year. I don't know. It's like a tale. I mean, every year is different, but I've never seen.
Such a swing.
Exactly. Such a big swing from obviously wins and losses, but also just like the camaraderie on the team. Last year you saw them taking pictures before the game was even over, you know, that kind of love for the game. Obviously winning helps that. Winning helps soothe, you know, all, you know, frustrations throughout the team. But and in my opinion, Cam Newton, when he is in the foxhole, you know, when I always say this all the time, but when the sphincter is tight, he is not very good at keeping his cool. And he begins, like you said, I think, Lacey, he begins to pout. He begins to whine. And in my opinion, it's really unattractive. You know, if I'm a girl dating him, that's not attractive to me at all. But it's also unattractive on the football field mm-hmm. because, in my opinion, it kind of spreads to everybody on the football team because he's your quarterback. He's your leader. And this is a guy.
That's my quarterback,
man. he's a TO. And he's a guy that should be able to be a leader. And that's why Russell Wilson and Cam Newton aren't even on the same stratosphere. Like, Russell Wilson is so consistent in his faith, but also just in his walk on the football field. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, you know, and that's why I like the quarterback in this game, which is Russell Wilson. But I believe it'll be close because it's such a fun rivalry. Mm-hmm. In the way the Hawks are playing right now, it's not like they are playing at a very, very high level. I believe Michael Bennett will still be out. I'm not quite sure if Thomas will play either.
I don't think so.
And that's why I think it'll be close. But it'll be fun to have Kelvin Benjamin back because, you know, he's been out last year. And so, and it's interesting because you thought with Benjamin coming back, the Panthers would be so much better than last year yeah. because they didn't have him. But also, you could also flip the table and say, well, did the Panthers begin to say, you know what, we don't have Benjamin, you know, Ted Ginn, these guys need to step up and play better than they ever have. And that's what they did last year. And this year it's like, okay, well, Benjamin's back. Maybe Ted Ginn's taking it back. See, I don't know all the ins and outs of what's gone on with the Panthers, but it's crazy to see the swing from this year to last year.
I agree, Kel. So, hey, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I don't know what we're going to do for this last segment. I think we'll spitball it at the break here and come back with something fun. I may do a little Would You Rather, may do something else. We don't know yet. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Cool is doing well in school. Now that's cool. Anyone who does well in school is a nerd.
Now that's not.
Cool is an attitude.
And if you have the right attitude, you can achieve anything.
Be cool. Stay in school.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loop Air Student Radio. If you want to call on the show, do it. The number is 253-535-7332. Again, that is 253-535-7332. Time to kick it to our last segment. And I'm going to be like Steve Nash here and assist, give a little assist here to Kellen. Kellen, pass this one over to you for the slam dunk. Kellen's going to bring us through Would You Rather questions for the end of the day here.
Are we the 2004 Mavericks? I'll be Dirk Nowitzki.
I was going for like the 2000. I was looking for the Nash MVP run with Amari Stoudemire on the Suns.
Ooh, that's fair.
That's the one I was looking
Who
for.
Who am I?
You can be
Rajon Bell. Sean Marion.
Yeah.
Sean Marion. Sean Marion.
That's a great, the trick.
Sean Marion has as much backspin on his jump shot as you do.
That's a great comparison. That's so good. He's a very athletic.
He's very athletic.
All right, so the first question for Would You Rather, it's a tough one.
It's a tough one. Okay,
would you guys rather have a hot tub or a pool?
Can I get a hot tub? Not to quote a commercial here, but I'm hot tub all the way.
I would definitely rather have a hot tub.
Same here. And the reason why for me, guys, is because you can have it all year.
Yep.
Pools are kind of spotty. I mean, pools are awesome.
Especially in Washington. You don't want
to. Oh, my God.
I think also the reason for Lacey and I don't know about you,
I guess,
Kel,
it's where you live. If you're in Arizona, you want a pool.
Yeah. Kel, I think it's also for Lacey and I, too. We're old. Me and Lacey hurt all the time. I don't know about you.
Kellen's young.
Of course I'm hurt.
All the time. We all hurt all the time.
You don't hurt all the time,
If I
Kellen.
Had a hot tub, I would spend 20 minutes a night in that thing.
Wow.
Nicholson's.
Kel. Christmas present. All right. Next question.
What we got?
Would you rather have, let's say you played 2 years in the NBA.
Okay.
2 years in the WNBA, Lace. Would you rather have 2 MVP trophies or 2 championships?
Oh, 2 championships.
2 championships, hands down. Like,
I'm a team player.
Yeah. You're asking two role playing team people. Like, that's what you're asking. You have to remember, Kellen, we're not all ball centric wide receivers. You know
well,
what I mean?
I would say championships as well. Because, I mean, those are, you never really forget those memories.
And they're more fun. Yeah.
They're more fun,
celebrate
yeah.
with your team. And
like Russell Westbrook, you know, the Thunder will be lucky to make the playoffs and he's going to be the MVP.
That's very true. I think they'll get the 6 or 7.
He's incredible.
Though.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he is.
He's incredible.
All right, next question. Would you rather get hit in the body by Ray Lewis or get hit in the face with a football thrown by Peyton Manning.
Oh, geez.
About 10 feet away.
Oh, geez. 10 feet? That's nothing.
Okay, but Ray Lewis will kill you.
Yeah. I'd rather take this. It's about, is this Indianapolis Colts Peyton Manning?
This is, yes.
This so this is not Broncos, I could throw the ball harder with my left hand than Peyton Manning.
And that's funny. And with Ray Lewis, you get a ball of the middle, and he's got a nice little 5-yard start at you.
Do I get pads?
Yeah, you're padded.
Oh, I'm taking the hit from Ray.
Your
I'm not
mouth
take,
guard.
Dude, and I'm guessing I don't have pads for the Peyton Manning ordeal.
No helmet.
Oh
no,
yeah, I'm taking the hit from Ray.
I think I'm taking the hit from Ray as well.
I think I'm going to take it from Peyton Manning. I think if I
mess up the moneymaker. Come on.
Yeah. Ashton Kutcher.
Okay, but if I got hit by Ray Lewis, I would be lucky to be alive.
That's
a massive man.
You're tough, girl. Come on.
And I'm pretty small.
You're tough.
Wow.
You got guns over there. I see you.
Would you rather watch gymnastics or cheerleading?
Gymnastics. This is coming from a guy
who... Like a cheerleading competition.
This is coming from a guy who went to a bunch of cheerleading competitions as he was a kid because my little sister cheered competitively. The thing about cheering is that you only really care about the person. Like, you only really care about, like, the team you're rooting for. And they could... It's like 2 minutes and 30 seconds. It's only one event. And then the awards are 8 hours later. With gymnastics, like, it's multiple events throughout the day.
That's true.
And it's a big competition, so you can watch the same person for more than 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
And it's pretty darn athletic. Not to say that cheerleading isn't athletic, because I believe it is.
Anything played on SportsCenter is a sport, in my opinion. Especially the way competitive cheer
poker,
is.
Poker, though? Come on.
Well, I mean, I don't know. How would you like to win $1 million playing cards?
I love it, but I don't think it's a sport.
I think
you have to be athletic to.
Well, you don't have to be athletic.
You got to be smart.
You don't have to be athletic to drive a car either. But NASCAR's a sport.
That's interesting as well. I agree with that.
Lacey,
I have tons of respect for gymnasts. You have to be so strong.
Oh my.
But I think I'd rather watch cheerleading.
Wow.
Why?
Because
I think it's awesome. I think for cheerleading, people underestimate, you have to be pretty strong to be a cheerleader as well. When you're being tossed around in the air and being thrown 10 feet in the air by people, like, that's pretty impressive stuff. I could not do that.
I agree.
So I'd rather watch cheerleading.
Would you rather win a Super Bowl or win a gold medal?
Wow. Gold medal.
So let's put yourself in the male form real quick.
A gold medal in basketball? Like in Olympic basketball or a Super Bowl in football?
Correct.
You know how much I love football. That's a mean question.
Wow, that's a tough one.
Because Super Bowls are pretty, pretty big time.
I'd rather win an Olympic gold medal with Team USA basketball. I'm sorry.
I think I'd rather win a gold medal as well.
With women's basketball? Play with Diana Taurisi.
Sure, women's basketball. Sure.
I think I'd rather win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, it's close, but I think...
That's a tough one.
That is really hard.
Just to think about who you'd be playing with, though, on that gold medal team in Team USA for basketball. Just think about that. You'd be playing with Cove.
Would you rather play beach volleyball or regular volleyball?
Oh, beach.
Beach all the time. It also depends who I'm playing, too.
Beach volleyball is tough.
You get a chance to take the shirt off.
Yeah, beach volleyball is nice.
Okay.
you're probably to play your own little Top Gun deal there. Little Top Gun scene.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see.
Come on, Kellen. What you got for me?
I'm searching here. What is tougher to play, hockey or football?
Hockey. Skating so hard?
Again. Miracle.
Again.
I mean, I totally agree. After watching Miracle, no question.
Skating so hard. Have you ever tried to, like, have you ever watched hockey and watched them skate backwards?
Oh, yeah.
It's hard enough to skate forwards and stop. They skate backwards and stop. Like, that's insane.
One of the questions
Hockey's hard to watch, too. I have a hard time watching hockey because I can never find the puck.
That's so true.
I'm like, where is the puck? Where is it?
Think about how the goalie feels. Think about how the goalie feels when that puck's flying at him 100+ miles an hour.
Oh my gosh, that would
frozen. Happen. Yeah, wow.
That's really funny. One of the questions is, sorry, Takara, but would you rather watch soccer or die? That's terrible.
I'd rather watch soccer.
I would rather watch soccer as well.
I played, so yeah, I'd probably much rather watch soccer. Wow, that's horrendous.
Where are you finding
these?
This is just on Google.
This is great.
Wow.
What else you got for me?
Who is a better passer, Rajon Rondo or Steve Nash?
Steve Nash. Rajon Rondo is a better defensive point guard.
Okay.
You have to remember that Steve Nash has back-to-back MVPs and Rajon Rondo doesn't.
That's true. What Rajon does his trademark move is that thick behind the back pass.
Yeah, or the show the ball on the fake layup, turn around, jump hook.
Right.
Like Rajon Rondo is good, but he couldn't throw the ball in the Puget Sound from outside the 3-point line.
Kobe Bryant or LeBron James?
I'm waiting for Kellen to rant. So go ahead, Kellen.
Yeah, I already know Kellen.
I haven't said Kobe Bryant's name on the air in so long.
Yeah, it has been a long time.
Go ahead, Kellen. Tell us who you'd really have.
Kobe Bean Bryant, no question about it. I mean, you want to talk about dedication to the game. You want to talk about commitment to the training room, commitment to his ice baths, commitment to his diets. That's what Kobe Bryant has shown the world. Now, granted, was he the best team player? Absolutely not. Do I agree with Drew last night? Did he really kind of hurt the Lakers when it came to taking a lot of money? Yes. But at the end of the day, I do believe LeBron James is a better basketball player. I 100% agree with that.
Better, he's the better basketball player. He's the better coach. He's the better general manager.
He's the better offensive player, though.
He's the better agent. But here's the deal. I think the difference between the biggest difference between LeBron and Kobe is that Kobe is scoring obsessed and LeBron is not.
I think LeBron's winning obsessed.
Exactly. Yeah. And LeBron knows that.
Not that Kobe's
LeBron,
not.
LeBron but. Knows that his best attribute is making everybody better around him,
right.
And Kobe's best attribute is putting the ball in the hole. That's why I think LeBron's better.
You'll love this question, Drew.
Okay.
Who's a better athlete? Michael Jordan.
Okay.
Or Tim Tebow?
Well, Tim Tebow's already better at baseball than Michael Jordan is. So
he's got a point there.
So, I mean, Michael Jordan went to the minor leagues and couldn't even hit his weight. Jordan did come back to the NBA and eat for the Wizards at 40.
Mm-hmm.
That's so hard. I think Michael Jordan is the better all-around athlete for the sole reason of the punishment he had to go through and avoid in the NBA, and the fact that at his size, which was small for the NBA at that time, and the kind of game he had to play, he had to be so much of a better athlete than everybody around him. I think Tim Tebow was the better athlete in college.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tim Tebow is the better baseball player, but in terms of all-around athletic ability, Michael Jordan wins.
Lace?
I'm going to have to go with Michael Jordan, too. It's different sports you're looking at, also. I mean,
it's rough.
Basketball is a whole different type of action than football and baseball, for sure. I mean, baseball is just a side thing. But
what Michael Jordan had to go through against the Bad Boys, against those Pistons teams, like,
oh my gosh,
so much better athlete.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Would you rather continue with your life, or would you rather restart it?
What?
Wow, this just got deep.
What?
Wow. Wow.
Oh, I got a good one after this. I want to continue with my life, please.
So you don't want to hit the restart button?
No, thank you.
Okay.
I'm having fun.
No, I think I would agree. I think I've learned from the mistakes that I've made, and I like who I am.
You know what? Just to be contrarian over here, I think I'd press reset.
You're hitting the button.
I'd like to, well, why not go back to being a kid again? I mean,
yeah,
sports,
being a kid again,
sports were made for kids. Adults just screw it up anyways.
Oh,
I want to go back to being a kid. Absolutely, I'm pressing reset. Go through childhood again, go through all that stuff again. Absolutely, I'm pressing reset 100%.
Would you rather watch a swim meet or a track and field?
Track and field.
Oh.
Hands down.
It depends if Phelps is swimming.
He's not.
No, that's the only.
I'm watching track.
Hey, that's the only 4 minutes anyone
really?
In the United States cares about.
I think I'd rather watch
is when
a
Michael
swim
Phelps
meet.
Is in the pool. I'd rather watch track and field. There's so many different events going on. You have running on the track. You have shot put at the back of the track, and you have jab at the opposite end, and pole vault on the inside, long jump on the opposite side.
Yeah,
there's so much.
There's a lot going on.
A lot going on to watch. Swimming. I'm just watching dudes swim back and forth, or women swim back and forth in a pool.
Yeah.
And there's not much going on. Like, the thing that's the only like swimming thing is impressive. There's two swimming things impressing me. One is how long they're able to swim in the water.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Two is the butterfly stroke. I still have no idea how that's done.
I agree.
But yeah.
Last question.
Cat.
Would you rather have a dog with a cat's personality or a cat with a dog's personality?
A cat with a dog's personality.
I 100% agree with that.
I 100% agree with that. I want no one likes the cat's personality. They're mean.
They're selfish.
Have you guys seen, though? Side note. There's a cat on social media that lives with three husky dogs.
Oh. And he acts like a husky
and
dog.
And he acts like a husky. So that when the dogs go on walks, the owners put the cat on a leash, and they take all their three dogs and their cat on a walk, and it's the cutest thing ever.
I think
just
we should
Google it.
I think we should end on that. I think we should end on that.
I totally agree.
I think Lacey's cute social media thing of the day. Maybe that should be our new ending to the show segment. Is Lacey should come out with the cutest thing she's seen on social media all week.
Oh, There's lots.
That's lots. Yeah, pick a puppy video every single week. Put the link up on the YouTube page. We'll get on our producer.
Well, this has been so much fun, yeah. Folks. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes. Folks, make sure to listen to all weekend to Laser to hear cool shows throughout the weekend. Like I said before, very, very enjoyable day. Christian had a run to get homework done. Drew stepped in. Drew, you were kind of Garoppolo.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Second string producer and came up big time. So thank you so much. I am Kellen Westring, Lacey Nicholson, Drew Artisoni. Tune in to the show next week to hear my final show of my life. I'm trying to sit up without tearing up here.
Be crazy.
Unfortunately, we were out of here. Thank you so much for listening, folks. Drive safe. Have a great day. Honor the Lord.
Yep. Be safe. Be easy. It's 3.5 Athlete Radio. See you guys soon.